Our local beat with Lisa Roberson, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. You know Vandermark Jewelers. Jim Vandermark and company do a wonderful job. They are right across from the hospital on Broad Street in Elyria. Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. Lisa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? I thought you were going to say that we can't feel the sun like you can, topside.
He's been bragging about the sun there all day. It is kind of cold now. Usually it's hot in this building, but for whatever reason.
Well, it's cold in here today, which I'm okay with.
They've shot the AC on.
You'll get a chance to enjoy some sunshine as you get a chance to go to Sin City here in a couple days.
That's right. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Right. So you won't have any tales to tell us next week when we have you on.
No, but actually, it'll just be a relaxing trip with my sister and getting some work done and, you know, we'll hit some restaurants and casinos and things like that.
Sure. Nice. Got any suggestions? You were just there.
Yeah, it's a good time. The biggest thing for me was just kind of going out and seeing things. I thought it was just fun walking around the strip, and we didn't get to Old Vegas or whatever they call Fremont Street. That was my first trip there, and my wife was kind of under the weather, so we just kind of hung out on the strip, but there's plenty to do there, so I would suggest just walking around and doing whatever you see.
Apparently, my sister has plans for us to have a amazing brunch on Sunday at the Bellagio, and she said, don't worry, it's only going to be like $80.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
So. It's $80.
Whoa.
I will say, it's a bit pricey, so make sure you have your money with you. But
wow.
And so I was like, what do I get
only
for
80.
An $80
yeah,
brunch?
No kidding.
I mean, like, I would stuff my pockets. $80.
Yeah.
Holy cow. See, I've heard Hash House of Go-Go is a great place.
That's over in the Rio.
Where's that?
It's on the other side of the strip. That's where Penn and Teller do their show.
Okay. Well, I forget. You saw Penn and Teller, right?
Bellagio is where the big water fountains are.
Yes.
Yeah, we went down to see Penn and Teller.
Wherever the restaurant's at, it overlooks the waterfalls. It's amazing. And
there's like 80 restaurants in there. But yeah, it's all really cool. It's a fun thing to take in.
Okay. Now, see, I've never been. That's on the bucket list. Mm-hmm. I'd love to get out there one of these days. You'll have to tell us all about it. We have you on next Tuesday.
I will tell you about it.
Well, as fun as it is to talk about Vegas, let's break some things down and talk about what's happening here in the area. And it seemed like last week a lot of questions were brought to the forefront about the Norwood campus plan. Now, I didn't realize this, but it sounds like, you know, before we actually get into some of the questions that were brought out, that's going to be more than just an elementary school, right? It seems that there's a lot at play there.
That's going to be the district's probably one of the larger buildings. It will be a preschool through preschool to middle school, so they have preschool through eighth grade there, that one building. So it's going to be like three schools in one that have separate entrances and separate, you know, parking areas and playgrounds and outside areas for each grade level. But, you know, it's going to be a pretty big building on that site where Pioneer Field and Spring Valley Elementary School is at.
Okay, so that's going where the old football field was, right? That's exactly where that's going?
Pioneer Field was a soccer field.
Oh, yes, that's right. Okay, so it's not too far from Abbey, correct? Isn't that where
it's
that's
right
going?
Off Abbey?
That's it. Okay,
right,
I got
Abbey and Hilliard.
Okay, Pioneer Field. That's right. See, every time I drive by that, I'm always headed out that direction, going north towards Sheffield. I was thinking it was actually going on the site by Ely Stadium, but then I got my Elyria athletic facilities all mixed up, so I think that's what happened. Not that you need to dive even deeper into my head here, but
yes.
So we were getting to some of the questions that were brought to the table. There were some concerns from some of the residents about this facility. What were some of those concerns?
The big concerns is going to be traffic and how people are going to get in and out of that facility. The way they have it set up now, you can't, you know, they have a design so Abbey Road is going to take traffic into the complex, but you won't be able to come out and turn left. And they're going to be trying to restrict the traffic to kind of keep the flow towards, you know, Hilliard and Rosewood. And a lot of people are concerned about that, where Rosalie's meets, because they think there's a lot of residential areas there. So they don't want the traffic in their residential neighborhoods. I don't know if it's maybe a little premature to talk about that, because they just broke ground on the building. And they're still, you know, as I told the residents in the area, that we'll fine tune it, you know, as much as we can as we continue to go along to meet your concerns. And as we see something that needs to change, we will change it.
There were some concerns also about flooding, and so there were some sewer concerns as well, too. Isn't that correct?
Yes, because that area, when it was incorporated, was not incorporated with storm sewers. And so a lot of the area floods. And there is a creek that runs kind of between the field and the school. There's a wooded area there. So in that wooded area, there's a creek that runs through that property. and so they're concerned about flooding there. And so the construction manager has assured residents that the way they can build the facility, they can build it in a way that streamlines the water to a retention pond. And you would think water goes where water wants to go, but you can design properties to make the water go where you want it to go. And he said that they will have a retention pond on the facility. I mean, if you ever driven past Lorain County Community College after a huge rain, you've seen how all the water pools right along Abbey Road.
Yeah, that's interesting. So essentially, he said the flooding's a bit of a non-issue, at least it sounds like from the construction manager's point of view. Correct?
Yeah, they think they have it mitigated with the retention pond.
Speaking of the construction manager, you had, in your story, it was mentioned that he basically told all the residents, hey, here's my cell phone number. Contact me if there's any problems, right?
Yes, and at the meeting, everyone grabbed their cell phone and took a screenshot of his phone number.
Hey, pretty confident, right, to be able to throw his cell number out there for anybody that has any questions?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he has a lot of homes that are right next to the project where he says he will make personal visits to if they have any questions, just to kind of keep them in the loop about what's going to be happening in that area.
Now, how long is the construction process supposed to take?
The school's supposed to open in the fall of 19.
Wow.
And
okay.
So, and you know, they're very concerned because that area is also under construction from a road project the city's doing. If you recall, Gulf Road has a big sewer project that went from Gulf Road down Whitman. It's going to be coming up Abbey. And so they're going to probably butt heads a little bit, both projects.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, so you could see why there might be a lot of concerns from the residents. All right. Again, we're talking with Lisa Roberson of the Chronicle-Telegram and our local Beat with Lisa, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. You wrote a story also about the Burr family farm, and apparently the farmland and some equipment also going up for auction next month. And I was reading up about the history of this family and your story. Boy, I didn't realize this goes back 6 or 7 decades. That's pretty incredible.
Yes. The man who started this all was Corwin Burr. He was the patriarch of the family, and he started farming right after he got out of the service. And then in the late 1940s, and he bought, you know, a plot of land and then eventually just continued to grow his plots of land until he had about 2,000 acres.
2,000 acres. I mean, think about that. I think what's interesting about the area where we're at here is that, you know, you probably will see a little bit more relatable material to this. Not that everybody's got 2,000 acres that they're sitting on, but in reading in the story, it was as if his kids and his grandkids, they're kind of getting away from that. I mean, maintaining 2,000 acres of farmland, that's a lot of work, as you detail in your story.
And this is not 2,000 continuous acres. These are 2,000 acres over three different counties of, you know, about four or five different farms. These properties are split, you know, across a wide area that you have to cover. They've done a great job for, you know, 60 some years of doing that. But, you know, now the second generation, his sons would like to retire, and, you know, their children are not really in the farming business, so they're going to sell it. And, you know, they're probably going to get, you know, a pretty penny for this land. They sold 840 some acres back in November, and they got about $7.5 million for it.
Wow.
And so this next sale on coming up next month will be about 1,000 acres. So you can imagine, you know, what that's going to go for.
Yeah, sounds like a good way to make money, I guess, there. If you're done using the land, why not?
Yeah, well, and I think you had mentioned it in your story also. I mean, the kids had said, basically, look, I mean, you don't really get any days off. You don't get weekends off. Yeah. You don't get holidays off. You know, farming is one of those things you have to dedicate your entire life to it. And on top of that, I think the grandson had mentioned, look, I mean, we married city girls.
Yes.
So they're not exactly, you know, thrilled to the idea of us being into farming the whole time. So, and I get it, too. I mean, I think it's fascinating, though, when you take a look at it. Yes, that's a lot of money. But at the same time, that's a lot of work. I mean, farming's kind of got to be a way of life. And it seemed like for Mr. Burr, it was a way of life.
Yes, Mr. Burr really enjoyed this work. And, you know, a lot of people in the community, especially around New Russia Township, they knew how he valued the work of making sure of keeping the land sustainable for, you know, future crops. And, you know, he was very passionate about that. You know, his sons worked hard alongside with him. But, you know, he passed away last year. And so now they can see it's a good time to transition out of farming.
Interesting stuff. And that's a heck of a lot of money. I mean, you mentioned that, what was it? How much of it that was 840 some acres went for $7.5 million?
That's right. 849 acres went for $7.5 million. And, you know, that popped up on our radar back in November, and then we realized they were going to be selling another 1,000 acres. Wow. And we just said, that's a significant amount of farmland that's going to be changing hands and, you know, possibly going to other farmers, possibly going to, you know, developers who want to put up homes there. You know, it's no telling what's going to turn into the, you know, what this property is going to turn into.
Do they know who did pick up the 849 acre? Is it going to be developed? Is it going to be farmed again? Any idea?
It's an auction, so if you've got the money, come buy it.
Whoever wants it, yeah.
$7.5 million laying around. You know, you might have a chance at it. Now, you said over three counties, right? I'm thinking in addition to Lorain, is it Richland and Huron? Is that right? Those other counties involved?
Yes.
Okay. So that's, boy, that's really a lot of land spread apart a few different areas, too. Want to revisit something we discussed a couple of weeks ago. City Council Finance Committee seeking designs for that new maintenance garage. And I think you had predicted this was the direction they were going to go because they had the option of just kind of remodeling or restructuring their current one or looking at a brand new one. It sounds like they're going to go with the latter.
Yes. Well, the remodeling and restructuring hits a snag because that building is built on a former landfill, so there's not much you can do there. The EPA has very strict guidelines of what you can build there once you've already you're on the cap of the landfill. And so they have some property that's across the street from the Garden Avenue facility. And so they could, you know, build there, but a lot of details still need to be worked out. So that's the reason why they want these proposals. They want someone to come in and kind of tell them, you know, these are your options. This is how much land you need. This is how much, you know, what size building you could need. This is how much it's going to cost. And so before they can make those kind of decisions, they really need to, like, look at a few proposals and see, you know, what's available to them.
There a timeline as to when they need these proposals by?
No. Because, you know, this is something they've been looking at for several years. They just put out the request for proposals. They'll probably finalize that tonight. There's a council meeting tonight at 7 o'clock. And so they'll finalize that tonight, and we'll see, you know, in the next few months how those proposals shake out.
And they're looking for something that's kind of an all-in-one building. Because I think you mentioned last time they've got shacks here that store. They do maintenance in one building for fire trucks.
Yeah, they do maintenance in another building for the wastewater equipment. And, you know, it's really hard when you've got employees over three different locations to cross-train them. So they're hoping they can bring all of their equipment into one location and really make sure that all their employees know how to work on each piece of equipment.
Cool stuff. Well, I would ask you what's coming up this week, but I already know you're headed to Vegas for a very well-deserved vacation, although you're not going to be 100% on vacation. You'll actually be working for part of it. And I would imagine a lot of what we talk about next week will be surrounded on what's going on next door, next Tuesday, right?
That's true. The next Tuesday is going to be the State of the City address. And actually, I'm going to watch it live from Las Vegas and report from the wonderful state of Nevada.
Nice.
We're going to see how this works out.
Got to love modern technology.
It'll be an early day for you, right? I mean, what time is the State of the City done start here?
It starts here on 11:30.
All right. Yeah. So that's like 8 a.m., right?
Yeah. 9, so I'll 10, be 11, up at 8 a.m.
So well, that'll be an early day there. Nice. Although you'll still be used to the East Coast time.
Yeah. Well, safe travels, Lisa. Enjoy your vacation.
So
and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you so much. See you next week.
All righty. Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us on our Local Beat with Lisa, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Vandermark Jewelers in Elyria on East Broad Street near the hospital, a trusted name in jewelry.